Nick, I kept trying to get around there and see you. That's pretty wide, but you're so jealous that you won't let anybody else get close to her.
Got a little crowded. It was a nice wedding, though.
Sure was.
Beautiful churches.
Yeah, it's very, I enjoyed going there.
I'd be a regular church goer if I go to a church like that.
I did. Saw an FBI this morning or last night when I laid where Anderson and had said to the FBI that I was trying to investigate him and persecute him and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't want him. I don't have any interest in the personalities of the thing at all. I have no desire to. I'm not angry at them. Matter of fact, I think we do better by. Pearson does better with us than most of them.
I had a long talk with Anderson.
Where does he get that idea?
I don't know where he gets it. What he's doing is taking it from the fact that we said we'd investigate that theft of the documents.
Yeah.
He and Pearson came up here, and we had a long and I think fairly satisfactory talk on that. And his claim is, with respect to the documents, that they were not stolen, and indeed he may be right.
Yeah.
And if that's true, then that's the end of that part of the investigation. And I'm trying now to figure out a way. He thought that we did that to, as a method of getting at him, and I think I at least satisfied Pearson. Whether I satisfied
him. Why does he think we're trying to get at him?
Because he was writing things about Dodd.
Well, we're not trying to. We have no connection with Dodd that causes us to want to keep him from.
I thought we'd made that clear to them when I told this to them, Mr. President. I said, look, if you have evidence that Tom Dodd's committed crimes or any other member of the Senator House, we'll take that. We'll play it straight.
That's right.
We're not trying to cover up anything.
That's
exactly. I don't care who they are.
That's right. And I'm not going to take any position with you anyway on what you've got to do on a case or how to handle it. I never have, and I don't want to, and I certainly don't want to do it on newspaper people where they get the impression. Now, has anybody around me ever said anything that would cause him to think that that we Dodd has never talked. He called up here and jumped on Jake Jacobson about, said Jake Jacobson had said to Resnick the other night something about Dodd, and that Jake had been to Dodd's office and had met with Dodd and his officers, people or something. And so Jake said that Resnick was here at a social event. He's trying to make conversation with him, and he saw his speech in the record. And said he just told him, said, well, I see you got a big speech in the record today. He said, what about? He said, on this Dodd matter. Oh, yeah, said, I thought that I ought to say something about that. Jake said he listened to it and said it went on a little bit longer and said, well, I see you got an invention. He said, I was trying to make conversation, but I never talked to anybody, and I've never been to Dodd's office. So I told him then, I said, you ought to call Pearson. And tell him that he's in here trying to get your job. Let me see who it was. One of my administrative assistants, Harry or Bill Moyer or somebody, that he had talked to. He goes around there all the time. So he called him and told him that he had never seen Dodd. He never talked to him. Nobody down here has talked to Dodd. I haven't seen Dodd since all this thing developed. I haven't talked to him. But he said that. You mean you haven't been in Dodd's office? I said, no. He said, you haven't talked to Dodd? No. I said, somebody's sure lying to us. Well, he said, they sure are. So I don't know where his office is. I've never been to it. I haven't seen him since I've been here. Don't know anything about it. I have no interest in it. Well, he said, somebody's lying to me. So somebody's evidently feeding him something. I don't know.
When he was here in the office, he just said, made the point that he said, well, President and Dodd are old friends, and he said he's the person that came down with the vice president on the plane from Atlantic City, and so forth. I made the point back to him. I said, look here, Mr. Anderson, we don't, it's not the way we do things in this department. That won't ever be done as long as I'm attorney general, as long as President Johnson's president. We don't do things that way.
Well, what we did with the Atlantic City thing, Dodd had asked to be on the ticket. He wanted to be the Catholic vice presidential ticket. I told him I hadn't decided, and I didn't want him to get the announcement what I was going to do until I was ready to make it.
Yeah.
So the quickest thing that I could do was I just told Walter Jenkins, tell him, come on down here and let me tell him. So I called him in there and told him, I said, now, Tom, this thing wouldn't work. You couldn't go this way, and you asked me to tell you before I made it. I'm going to make it tonight. And that's all it was doing.
Well, you know, and there's some people that tend to see government as a conspiracy anyhow, and I think Jack Anderson's one of them. He wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago on all this government was bugging everybody, tapping everybody, beating everybody over the head. I don't know whether you saw this or not.
No, I didn't.
Sunday piece. And he had cases in there that were 18 years old, which he made sound as though the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Justice or somebody, you know, done them the day before yesterday.
And, well, what are the facts on the Dodd thing? Is Dodd violated any law?
I don't know that he has, as none of the information that we have as yet in terms of trying to analyze it, it isn't all completely analyzed, would indicate it. There's the possibility of, which they allege, of the misuse of campaign contributions, using them for his own personal purposes and not declaring them as income. That's one possible area which they play very heavy on. The rest of it, there's really nothing, even in terms of their allegations, that I would think would create any violation of any of the statutes. But I don't want to say that, you know, absolutely, because
sure.
We've gone over all,
what
of,
about
the, all of the papers.
What about that $50,000 Hoffa fee?
Well, that was a law fee taken by his law firm there. For general union matters and advice, Tom Dodd never was over here in the department on Hoffa, and he didn't take it with respect to any of the criminal investigations of Hoffa. He just got a lot of Teamster support, and I take it that was a way of going to his law firm, and I presume the law firm did some work. I don't know whether it did or didn't, but I assume that it did. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is, you know, he'd take a fee for no legal work, but for the way Tom Johnson did, he took it presumably for legal work, and the only legal work he produced was coming and visiting the head of the criminal division 27 times on behalf of Fella Edlin, which is a conflict of interest situation. If he had taken the work for you know, searching title to property or something like that, wouldn't have been a conflict of interest.
Well, now, what about the documents? What does the evidence indicate there?
Well, the documents that they have, they indicate that he did a lot of favors for Julius Klein and so forth, but it doesn't, nothing we've come across yet, Mr. President, things that, you know, be bad publicity for Tom Dodd, that might create conceivable ethical problems, or just really bad publicity, the sort of things people could jump on, the sort of things they've been publishing in their column. But I guess you know the story of the Persian rug.
Yeah, I heard it is a small rug.
Worth $2.50, sent with a Christmas card, or $1.75. 4 inches by 3 inches. They made it sound as though it was something the Shah himself had woven by hand. So I just don't know, but you see, he's got 4,500 documents, so he's be having to through them all.
Well, now, what were they, photostated out of his files?
Yeah, by present employees. And Anderson and Pearson's story is that they believed Dodd was guilty of crimes, that these employees, that they, instead of going to the FBI, they didn't say they didn't dare go to the FBI because they didn't think the FBI would do anything about this, because Tom Dodd was a former special agent and very close to the FBI. They thought there'd be a whitewash, so they went to Pearson and Anderson instead. That's Anderson's story. And that the theft problem, we may have some difficulties, because if technically, if these people had access to the documents and so forth, maybe no theft. You know, legitimately had access, there may be a problem as to theft. Apparently they didn't take the documents out and photostat them over a period of time. Anderson at least says that was their motivation and their reason. That's a pretty tough case, if that was.
Well, what are they doing? Are they just taking documents now and
I think they've cleaned out everything that's there. And I said, we looked at the documents.
But the people are still working for him.
Some of the people are still working for him, yes, sir. I don't know that we've got them identified as to which ones they are.
That's a hell of an overhead.
Might have people on your staff doing that, Mr. President? Boy.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Anderson thinks that this is a legitimate way of getting news. You know, and he points to Senator McClellan got confidential documents during the TFX investigations and classified documents from time to time are given by people in the State Department, the Pentagon, or some other place. You know, the newsmen, they don't like the policy. He thinks that's legitimate, that you shouldn't investigate the newsmen. Get those.
What about the...
And it's delicate.
It sure is. It sure is. What about the Francis Knight thing?
Well, I spoke to Secretary Rusk about that. I and Meeker are going down to talk with Teddy Kennedy Monday at Secretary Rusk's request. He'll be reasonable enough about it, I think. And lay off it. Now, I think, Mr. President, when you have got people going abroad who take positions on foreign policy quite inconsistent with that of the administration, that it's perfectly legitimate to try to find out if they're, when they're abroad, they're making a lot of speeches or stirring up a lot of this or that. I think it's perfectly, my own view, it's perfectly legitimate to tell the ambassador these people are going to be there. You don't know who the hell they are. And if Dr. Spock goes over, it seems to be helpful to an ambassador to tell him that Dr. Spock is head of the whatever it is committee on Vietnam. And he's made a lot of speeches about it. He's coming over there. I don't know whether all our ambassadors would necessarily know that without somebody telling them. And then I think it's perfectly legitimate to inquire afterwards if the embassy has any information as to what this person did, which they would get from reading the paper on fairly or something like that, tell us. But it sounds like you're keeping shadowing people, putting them under surveillance.
Is that all they've done?
That's what they say, sir. Never did any shadowing, no surveillance. Mr. Hoover says he didn't even request that. Only request he ever made, the long-standing arrangement that if the embassy reports anything back with respect to any of these people, he would like to get a copy of the, get the information for our files. He says he never requested to do anything. Well, I've got to go over that whole thing with State Department, which I will do. It's the same thing here in this country, in a way, and I have a long memorandum from Mr. Hoover on this subject where he wanted guidance within this country as well as abroad as to what does he do when he gets requests, what should he do with respect to people opposed to Vietnam or opposed to this or opposed to that, who are not known members of the Communist Party, should he gather information about them or not? And I think it's a difficult question. And I think the answer is you ought to do it, but you, at least I think this tentatively, I think, yes, you ought to know about this. I think it's important for the president to know about this. President to know whether there's demonstrations when people are making speeches against our foreign policy. That seems to be important things to know. It's important to know if there were communists there. It's important to know if the...
Do you think most of these are...
But I think you have to be very discreet about it. I mean, I think for the FBI to go out and ask a lot of questions about a fellow like H. Stewart Hughes, would be a bad mistake. Because that would appear in the papers and make it look as though you were trying to, you know, get all this shut up, trying to intimidate. We are heroes, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So I think it has to be done with great discretion, and the trouble is, over there in State Department, while it has gone on with great discretion for a long time, somebody didn't use much sense when they gave the New York Times that information.